Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we introduced the European Psychiatric Association's position statement on physical activity as a treatment for severe mental illness. In the second post, we highlighted the European Societies of Sports Traumatology, Knee Surgery, and Arthroscopy's Basic Science Committee's consensus statement on the latest treatment options for tendinopathy. This week, we had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Janet Simon, an assistant professor in the Division of Athletic Training at Ohio University. We'll join that conversation right now.
So to get us started, could you tell us briefly about what you've been doing with your research recently?
So one area that I focus on is health-related quality of life, or measuring patient-reported outcomes and other functional measures during and post an individual's athletic career. I had no idea this was kind of like an area that I wanted to get into, and I kind of was exposed to it during my doctoral work. I actually met a former athlete who talked about chronic pain he was having and kind of attributed to his time playing and kind of the cumulative injury effect. He couldn't really point it to one injury and kind of this cumulative effect of playing athletics and kind of what that does to a person, not only physically, but mentally. So I kind of got interested in that area to see if there was anything out there in the research, and there really wasn't anything out there. So I got interested in just measuring quality of life post a person's Division I athletic career, and that was the first paper I published in the American Journal of Sports Medicine. And we saw that, you know, compared to individuals that kind of played recreational sports, so they weren't Division I athletes, but they chose to participate in recreational sports such as club sports, individuals that were Division I athletes had worse quality of life compared to those that, you know, were just playing recreational sports. And this was kind of 20 years post their college career. So I've expanded on that work. I'm doing a five-year follow-up that we just finished the data collection on. So we're doing a five-year follow-up on those individuals to see what they look like. Another area of interest of mine is looking at the relationship between physical performance and quality of life. And can we use physical performance to kind of predict who's going to have a good outcome post-injury?
Great. So it's really interesting stuff. I think, like you said, you're really filling in an important gap here. What would be some of the key take-home messages from your research that you would hope that clinicians would start to apply into their practice today?
I think the big one, and it's a push right now, is patient-centered care. So not just treating the athlete, you know, with their injury in mind, but as a whole person. Treating athletes not just for the now, and treating them for their lifetime. Right, just because we're doing X treatment now to get them back into play doesn't mean that that's the right choice for their life. And I think those are hard discussions to have with athletes because they're thinking about the now and not the future. But I think the more we have those discussions with our athletes, we'll provide better care to them and kind of bring them into the conversation. The other way to do that is obviously incorporating measures of quality of life and other patient-reported outcome measures into your practice. So it opens up those dialogues to have with athletes.
And based on that, do you have any suggestions for how we might engage an 18-year-old to think about the long-term consequences of what could be coming?
It's certainly hard to do because, again, they are thinking about the now. And I think the best way to do it is have the conversations early. You know, most of these individuals start playing sports, you know, at the age of 5 or whatever. But as soon as they meet an athletic trainer, maybe in the high school setting or middle school setting, it's starting to have those conversations about long-term health. And that's the thing that I think athletes don't really understand is athletics is not, you know, it's not physical fitness. They're very different. Right, when someone, you know, leaves the athletic setting, they need to think about how they're going to transition to fitness and a healthy lifestyle, because athletics isn't really that. You know, they're forced when to work out, you know, they're told how to work out, So they really don't know how to incorporate that on their own once they leave the athletic setting. So again, just having these discussions along the way of, you know, well, what do you enjoy doing outside of soccer or football? You know, do you do yoga or martial arts or other more like lifelong activities? And I think the more we talk about it, the more athletes will start to think about the whole picture.
And do you think down the road that practice may change from the perspective of having more wellness components to help athletes adjust after their athletic career?
I think so. I know the NCAA is interested in having, you know, more wellness components and kind of having some transition courses. There's a couple people that have done some research studies on incorporating like a course at the end of their senior year or their fifth year that talks about wellness and, you know, how they're going to make the transition post-college.
Great. Thanks for coming on today and briefly talking about your research.
No problem. Thank you.
Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was an article about a study where the authors conditionally recommended exercise for improving pain and function in patients with mid-portion Achilles tendinopathy. Furthermore, they conditionally recommended against the adding of a splint to an eccentric exercise protocol, and they did not recommend orthoses. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these posts, the courses, and the journal article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.